Miriam.
Hannah.
Good evening to both of you.
Hello,
good evening.
We'll start. We're on section 67 of Bereshit Bet in the Zohar. We're starting with verse 410. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkin Tevit Hiluur Himud Hiluud Hiluur Himu. L'yakta L'shem Yudhei Bavavhei B'Yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La'asok Torah Mitzvah. Vayihino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kerenei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kerenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bishata Dechav Kame Kudsha Berichu Adam V'Aved Al Pikudo Kedain Ishtakach Atzivu Kameya Amar Leya Kudsha Berichu Adam Vav Dechal Chaloshit, chaloshat, chela, ila'a b'chai sha'ata, itchashkach, ish, itchashkat, nechora, chad miyad, tarich, le'a, miginta, de'eden, Rabbi Abba said that the Holy One, blessed be He, was grieved when Adam sinned before Him and transgressed His mitzvot. He said to him, Adam, woe to you that you have weakened the heavenly power. At that moment, one light of the Nukva was extinguished, and forthwith He banished him from the Garden of Eden. Questions, comments, thoughts.
When it said one light of the Nukva was extinguished. Were they still together then? They weren't together then.
You broke up on that. What's the question?
He said that one light of the Nukva was extinguished and he banished him from the garden.
Right.
So were they separate? Were they together? What was...
Well, at the moment of the sin, they were separated from each other, but they were, they were married. Hashem had married them, so they were a couple, but they weren't back to back. They had already been turned face to face.
So when it says that he banished him from the garden, that includes her?
Yes, but there's two ways to see this. The word nukva is a partsuf. Now, the difference between malchut and nukva, malchut is a single sephirah. The nukva is a structure of 10 sephirot. So when it says one light of the nukva was extinguished, it's not describing which light, but it was more than likely is the Malchut of Malchut, because Malchut has no light of its own. And so the sin is what eliminated or reduced the light of in the Nukva, which is this structure of 10 Sephirot. So when he banished him, yes, him would include her, because I'm distinguishing between the Sephirot and the structure of the Sephirot and the human beings. The confusion typically comes from this idea. We're always saying that the physical world is Malchut. But in actuality, the physical world is a lower level than Malchut. Malchut in a hierarchy is a Sephirah and thus is higher than physicality. But it's the Malchut is the lowest level of the Sephirot. So the pronoun him is referring to the human being Adam, whereas the Nukva is referring to the female Sephirot called Malchut in its complete structure of 10 Sephirot. Another way of understanding that is that the Nukva consists of Keter of Malchut, Chachma of Malchut, Bina of Malchut, Chesed of Malchut, Gevura of Malchut, Tiferet of Malchut, Netzach of Malchut, Chod of Malchut, Yesod of Malchut, and Malchut of Malchut. So the one light is extinguished, and that, my guess, is it's Malchut of Malchut. But the other nine lights of the Nukva, the other nine lights of Malchut, are still in sequence. The lights are still there, and they're fulfilling the vessel, or these nine vessels. And then the statement that he banished him from the Garden of Eden is referring to the human level in the physical world.
I'm following you. When you said that Malchut has no light of its own, so what light was extinguished from it?
Malchut receives light through Yesod from all of the eight, or more typically, all of the five lights above it in Zeran Tim. But it could also be considered that it's receiving the light from the eight Sephirot above Yesod. Yesod is a channel. It gathers everything above it, and it brings whatever it gathers down to the physical world. Let me rephrase that. It gathers everything above it, and then it channels all of that, whatever it's gathered, to the Malchut level.
So are you saying that whatever Malchut had received was extinguished? And it couldn't receive anymore?
No, it continues to receive, but not through its own actions. Prior to the sin... Adam and Eve were living in the Garden of Eden, and the Garden of Eden is the Malchut of the spiritual levels. And after the sin, Adam and Eve are banished to the physical world, and that represents the extinguishment of the light of Malchut of Malchut, or Malchut of Malchut, which is the Malchut of the Nukva. but the Nukva still continues to receive light from above it, from there on pin. And that light gets channeled to the physical world when human activity activates that channel. But it's not an automatic flow like it was before the sin.
Ah.
Any other questions? Thoughts, comments? Verse 4:11. Amarleya ana lach leginta te den lekarva karbana viat pegimat madbecha tilait karev. Karbana mikan ulhala la vodet ha'adama v'gazar aleya mita v'chas aleya kuchabritu v'ganiz leya v'shata damit samich. Leginta. He said to him, I placed you in the Garden of Eden to offer sacrifices by unifying the Holy One, blessed be He, and the Shekhinah, and you have impaired the altar, which is the Nukva, so much that offerings cannot be brought to it anymore. Henceforth, go away and work the land. And he sentenced him to death. Taking pity on him, however, the Holy One, blessed be He, buried him when he died close to the garden in the cave of Machpelah, where the entrance to the Garden of Eden is located. Questions, comments, thoughts? Does anyone feel like expressing some thoughts or
it sounds like to me that Hashem's getting ready for the next generation after Adam. Because we know eventually that Abraham's gonna find that cave. It's going to be a very important place, spot.
Well, we're taught elsewhere in the Zohar that every soul, after leaving its body, travels through the tunnel to the cave of Machpelah, and then ultimately to the lower Garden of Eden, where it is sentenced. Where its final judgment of its lifetime is rendered. And then everyone is sentenced to Gehinnom, even just for an instant. And when the righteous go down to Gehinnom, as they elevate to the upper Garden of Eden, they elevate all the souls that are ready to leave Gehinnom. So that's the process as I understand it. But your comment is well taken, because it's describing the idea that the Garden of Eden and the Cave of Machpelah are connected to each other. and that is one teaching within this pasuk. Another interesting aspect is the idea that the Garden of Eden is a place to offer sacrifices, but using the nukva as the altar. And people don't really think in those terms.
Well, I was able to go to the caves of Machpelah. So it's a blessing for me.
Baruch Hashem.
Is the nukva fitted on the left side with fire?
You broke up. All I heard was the nukva on the left side.
Is she an aspect of fire? Where, I mean, if I would think of a nesteah, the concept of something being consumed and being offered up to Hashem in the fire.
Right.
As opposed to chesed, which comes down as water. So could it be that when we're talking about that sacrifice being offered through, I'm not sure if that's the right word, through nukva, that she is somehow lifting up the souls in a holy fire?
Yes. That is one way to perceive it. But what is the difference between the Shekhinah and the Nukva? They're both related to Malchut. The Shekhinah is elevated when human beings do proper actions of sacrifice. They unify the Shekhinah with their Anpin, the Shekhinah with the Holy One, blessed be He, with Hashem. And what is the basis of that unification is the altar. So the sacrifice on the altar elevates the Shekhinah to elevate to the level of Zeran Pin. But we haven't really answered what is the difference between the Shekhinah and the Nukva. Is the Shekhinah part one of the Sefirot? Is it Keter of the Malchut of the Nukva? Or is it a combination of more of them?
We say the Shekhinah is here with us. It's gone into exile with us.
Yes. But we also say the Shekhinah is fallen and will not arise. The Shekhinah is in exile with us. The Shekhinah is our protection shield. There are many different verses in the prophets and in the writings that deal with the Shekhinah. And here in the Zohar, we're being given these two words. One is Shekhinah and one is Nukva. And I'm asking, what's the differentiation? It's not really clear. It's not clear in this verse, and it's never been clear in anything else I've read in the Zohar. Frequently, I hear Shekhinah and the Nukva and Malchut are all being used interchangeably. But they're not interchangeable. They're three different aspects. They're three different aspects of manifestation.
If we talk about Malchut, we're talking about ruling.
Yeah.
Right?
Adam is Malchut, yes. But again, you have to define your frame of reference. If you're talking about a human being, Adam is not Malchut, because Adam is the Keter of all of the human beings. So in that case, Adam would represent the Keter of the Nukva. But actually, Adam represents Zerantin. And the Nukva, Adam represents Zerantin. And Adam represents Hashem before the sin, but after the sin, Adam has fallen. And so the Nukva and the Shekhinah separate after the sin. They're two different aspects. But the Nukva has ten complete structures. So the Shekhinah is the Malchut of Zerantin. And I know this language is confusing, but eventually you'll become used to the language and you'll be able to use it like you do English, because it's the only way that a student of Kabbalah grows spiritually is to be able to use the language properly.
When you say Hashem, so you're talking about the Yud Kei Vav Kei?
Yes.
So the way I've learned it is that the Yud is a different part of, and then the Hey is a different part of, and then the Vav is their Antin. So when you're saying their Antin is Hashem, is that different than what the way I'm thinking it?
Not really. If we describe something called Zerantin that consists of the seven lower Sephirot, so Zerantin, there is a Chesed of Zerantin, a Gevura of Zerantin, a Tiferet of Zerantin, a Netzach of Zerantin, a Hod of Zerantin, and a Malchut of Zerantin. And Malchut of Zerantin is the Shekhinah. And Malchut of Zerantin is Zion, while Jerusalem is Malchut of Malchut. So on Shabbat, Malchut of Malchut, or the city of Jerusalem, along with the whole earth, elevates to the level of Zion, to the level of Malchut of Zerantin. And when that happens, then Zion, or Malchut of Zerantin, rises to Yesod of Zerantin. And all the Sephirot rise and move higher. So we're describing a process. But that's much more involved than what's being expressed in this pasuk.
Okay, so I just did want to ask, what's the spiritual aspect of a cave?
It's both protection and concealment. It's similar to the idea of a fence. But this is the essence of a cave is concealment.
It seems that though the people are not always buried in a cave, they could just be buried in the ground. And the ground conceals them as well.
Correct. Are you asking what's the difference between the ground and a cave?
Yeah.
I'd really have to look at the difference in the words for ground and cave to be able to answer the question really clearly.
I think I did see Aha Adama, yes. So that's ground.
No. Adama is dirt.
We call dirt ground here.
Yes, we use these words interchangeably, but in Hebrew they're not. There's very specific differences, most of which in our understanding, because we're speaking English and it's being translated, we don't get the nuances. And the only way you get the nuances is to look at the words and what the letters of those words are.
Well, the word is in the blessing of the fruit, you know, the fruits that we eat from the ground. And
yes,
that's usually the way we translate that blessing. The fruit of the ground.
Well, what is the word for cave in Hebrew?
What is what? I'm sorry, you broke up.
The word for cave.
That I don't know. Let me see if I... Okay, I picked up just a little hand one, and it's very small. Ma'ara, or mi'ara. Let's see. Mem, ayin, resh, hey. No, wait, that's cavern. Cave is mem, ayin. Well, it's the same. Mem, ayin, resh, hey.
Okay. Well, Adama is what is man? Adama is Adam, and then the hay, right?
Mm-hmm.
But mem, ayin, resh, hay has got the middle two letters is evil. Ayin, resh. It's ra. On the outer letters, mem, hey, is what is evil? Concealment is evil. So why are people buried in the ground as opposed to a cave? Because we've run out of caves. So people went ahead and started being buried in the ground. And then when we run out of ground, they build mausoleums. But all of that is far from the basic principle.
What does Machpelah mean?
I haven't done that per se, but how do you spell Machpelah? Give me a minute.
With the Chav?
Give me a second. I've got Google Translate open, so.
Okay.
But you can't use Google Translate all the time because of the because it's Google Translate is using spoken Hebrew and modern Hebrew.
Right.
And Machpelah is in caps, which tells us, you know, that it's the translator that
right
inserted Machpelah. So.
But Machpelah is spelled Mem Kaf Pe Lamed He. So if I'm not, it's cognate too. I'm not sure if it's the right exact letters, but Mil, I always get this word wrong, but the Lechem for bread is has the same root as war, which is Michala, or I don't know how to pronounce it properly with the vowels. But Machpelah is an indication of a war, but it's the war of the mouths.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the pay is his mouth. So, but I'm not sure that I'd have to double check that.
Actually, that's quite interesting because the Machpelah has a chaf. War has a ches. So it's Machpelah then, according to what you're turning it around, it's the pet of Melech. A Melech with a chaf. The king,
right.
Of the mouth of the king, as opposed to the war of the mouth, which if you change the chaf to the chaf, then you'd get that.
Right.
And doesn't it also relate to thought?
Say again?
Doesn't it also relate to the word for thought? Seems like it's
no.
Like...
No, the difference between melech and salt is a kaf or a chet.
Okay.
Salt is spelled min and chet.
I thought that's what she was asking. Melech.
No, mem lamed kaf is king.
Right.
So what? Machpelah can be translated as your mouth is the king of the physical world, because the hay at the end of the word can be said to represent the physical world. It can also mean going in the direction of the king's mouth. And Machpelah is this channel to Zeron Pin, channel to the Garden of Eden, and the king's mouth is actually the Malchut of Zeron Pin.
Uh-huh.
So Machpelah is saying this is the direction to the king's mouth, to the Malchut of Zeron Pin. So you can see how the Hebrew is so powerful in the way it explains everything.
Okay, so beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when we're doing this verbally, you don't really see it in writing, and if you can, you know, take the time to write out the words and permutate the letters like we were talking the other night, and which the Kabbalah tells us to constantly do, beauty of the language, the beauty of the teachings are phenomenal. So we're out of time, so I wish you all a beautiful evening. Our questions and answers session will be at 7 o'clock West Coast time, and we will count the Omer at 8:30.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.